He loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me.
Yeah! heaven is beautiful. It's beautiful. And it's beautiful. How he loves us. It's beautiful. Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah, it's beautiful. How he loves us. Oh, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. God, you showed us in the way how much you love us by giving your only begotten Son to die a death that we deserve. He stood in our place of condemnation and judgment. He bore our sins on that tree in his body. You laid upon him the iniquity of us all. When you made him who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf, that we might be made the righteousness of you in him. That's love, God. That's how much you love us. That is the extent to which you went to show us your manifest love. And we thank you, God, for your love. It is a beautiful thing to be loved. God, we just pray that you will help us remember that when we are feeling down on ourselves, when we feel forsaken and feel lonely and feel that there is no one in the world that loves us. We can say within our soul, we can encourage ourselves even as David encouraged himself in the Lord. We can say, oh, how he loved me. We thank you for great love wherewith you loved on us. Heavenly Father, we present this hour to you and we ask you to have your way. Even as the word is preached, have your way. Speak to our hearts as only you can. Lord, we pray that you will remove your male servant out of the way and speak through your Holy Spirit. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to think. But I just pray, Lord, that you will have your way. Speak, Lord, and have your way in this place. Encourage our heart. Lift us up. Encourage us, Lord God. Get us up off our knees. Get our face out of our palm. And Lord, set us in that place that we know you love us. Validate us by your word. Remind us that you will never leave us nor forsake us. So have your way as your word is preached, Lord. Visit us, Lord, even in this place this morning, that we may know we have heard from heaven. Have your way. We pray for everyone under the sound of my voice. Just go with us, God. Be magnified, be glorified. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. 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 I thank God. Amen. Thank God I was not called to be a singer. But he chose me to be a son. Amen. Sonship, he chose me to be a son. And then he called me to be a preacher. I thank God I would never be given a music contract. Amen. Amen. I will never get a record deal. Amen. But I thank God my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the record. Lord help mercy. Lord help me. That's the record. That's the only record that counts. Amen. To be written. Thank God for everybody. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Greet you in his name. I'm going to ask you to turn your attention to Genesis chapter 21. And while you're turning there, turn your attention to Genesis chapter 21. While you're turning there, I'd just like to take this moment just to just thank God for my wife. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Happy birthday to Amir. Amen. And happy belated birthday, right? And happy belated birthday to my wife, who also celebrated her youngness on last week, Thursday. Amen. Thank God for her. Amen. Thank God for Pastor Wright, Reverend Williams, all of the deacons, everybody. I'm aiming not to be before you long. Amen. I also thank God for all of my children who are here. Amen. Genesis 21. And I don't have a sermon. I'm torn between everything that we've been through the book of Genesis. And we know that we are broken to the word before we're given a sermon. Amen. And I've been broken to everything thus far, especially those chapters that have been assigned to me. Amen. And I tell you what, last week, Monday morning, my heart was a little heavy, and I got on the prayer line, and I asked one of the deacons to pray, and Deacon Wright prayed, and he said something in his prayer, man, that just energized my spirit, and it's been on my mind all week, amen, and he prayed for encouragement, in the fact that we serve an all-sufficient God. That was the energizer bunny for me. Amen. And it just encouraged me. And I'm telling you, it still is encouraging me even now. Amen. And Genesis chapter 21 is one of those chapters I'm broken to. Of, like I say, everything thus far. And that's why I'm torn between chapter 21. Chapter 15, chapter 16, chapter 12. I can just keep going back, and I'm telling you, I'm there. Amen? I'm there in all of those chapters. And we say, amen, we say we are Peter. Amen? And Peter are us. But I have a new saying. I'm Abraham. And Abraham am I. Amen. If you don't look over the life of Abraham and see yourself and tell God thank you, I don't know what you're looking at when you look in the book of Genesis. Amen. Amen. And I know when I look at the life of Abraham, I can say I have hope. I have hope. Amen. Here is the father of the faith. Here is the one whose faith God will use as the mold to mold every believer into believing in Jesus Christ. Amen. Here is the one that God personally called his friend. Yet, he ain't perfect. You don't see the hope in that? You don't see yourself in that? Amen. He's obedient to God today. And tomorrow he's lying. That's me. You don't see yourself in that? There's hope for us, church. And yet God called him his friend. Amen, amen, amen. Thank God for Abraham. Amen, amen. Chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age. At the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare unto him, Isaac, which means laughter. Laughter. And Abraham circumcised his son, Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Amen. And this was a circumcision commemorating the covenant that God had made with Abraham. Amen. In the previous chapter, this is the circumcision that validates the covenant that he made with Abraham, the circumcision covenant, okay? And so Abraham is not circumcising his son here because it will save his son's soul, but because it's a sign of the covenant that Isaac is the promised seed. The temporary promised seed, of whom the ultimate promised seed will come. Amen. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah would have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. In other words, she is saying that if someone had told me that I would have had a son in my old age, and Abraham would have had a son in his old age, I would not have believed it. And that is exactly what happened. She did not believe it. In fact, she laughed at it. In fact, she was sitting in the tent when the angel of the Lord said it. And it was like she took a drink of water. You know that moment when you taking a drink of water and someone says something funny and everything spills out of your mouth? She had one of those moments. Who would have believed? And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to deal with some of the other verses in the continuing chapter. So let me just read. I'm not going to be before you long, so I don't worry about it. Minister Williams already told me I got till 1 o'clock. So, because 1 o'clock, then we can go eat. So up to, from now till 1 o'clock, we don't have nothing to do, so I got it. Right? Why did he tell me that? And Sarah saw, verse 9, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Now that word for mocking is the same word that is used for laughter when she said, God has made me laugh. In the English word is laugh and is mock, but in the Hebrew it is the exact same word for laugh and mock. So in other words, the son of Sarah, of Hagar, the Egyptian, laughed. Right? He laughed. She saw him mocking, laughing. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. Laughter. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son, Ishmael. He loved him. Amen. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. Listen to her. Amen. Amen. Let all the wives in the house say amen. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she wept and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Rise, arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness, and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran. And his mother took him out of, his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. Amen. 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 The faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God is what we want to talk about. Amen. God is faithful. He is faithful. How many of you know that? Amen. Now, how many of you have experienced that? Amen. Amen. I thank God for you that know that. But I'm grateful to God for you that have experienced that. Amen. We serve a faithful God. And that is important to us as we live this Christian life. Amen. If we would walk with God. and have him walk with us. We need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the God who we walk with, the God who walks with us, and the God who talks with us, the God who encourages us, the God who has given us his many promises in the Bible, it is important that we know beyond doubt that he is faithful. Amen? When everything is going good and everything is all right, when there's abundance of overtime at work, when your bank account is not dry, when your health is good, and all the children are well behaved, those are times that the faithfulness is not on our hearts because we don't have anything to worry about. But we get comfortable. And oftentimes God allows and disturbs and shift and stir up some things to get us up out of our comfort zone in order that we may know he's faithful God. In order that we may remember that everything is not going good because we have been good, but everything is going good because he has been good. Amen. And oftentimes he wants to remind us of that very truth. Amen. Lest we forget who is in control. Amen. Lest we go boasting about what we have done. Amen. And so it had been about, I forgot what I counted, 7 years since God promised Abraham and his wife Sarah that he was going to give them a child. And time had gone by, and they both have forgotten who was in control. They both have forgotten that God is faithful to his word. He's faithful to do what he say he will do. Not just what he said he would do, but he's faithful to do what he said he would do when he says he will do it. And so it did not matter that Sarah's biological clock was ticking. God is not limited by time. But yet, Sarah and Abraham forgot that this God that had brought them to this point was faithful. That he had kept his word up to this point. And so, what he promised to do was give them this child in their old age. First of all, it wasn't believable because they both was way past the age of childbearing. But God has a way of letting a little bit of time goes by, so we can see the thing that he's done is not ordinary, but extraordinary. The thing he's done is not common. It's not common. And it's not according to our traditional way of seeing things done. God could have brought Jesus Christ through Joseph, knowing his wife Mary. But he brought Jesus Christ when the word says the Holy Spirit overshadowed her, and before she knew a man, she became pregnant. That God wanted to make a statement that it wasn't an ordinary child that was being born. And it wouldn't seem so not ordinary if he came by ordinary means. So the virgin had a child. And the only virgin that has ever had a child in the entire history of mankind. Only God can do that. And so he let a little bit of time go by. And no doubt, like I said, Sarah felt her biological clock tick, tick, ticking. And it was like, God, where are you? I'm growing old here. You know, sometimes we say that to hurry up somebody, but we don't literally mean it, even though we're still young, but we just said, will you come on? I'm growing old here. But Sarah was literally old. And so she forgot the faithfulness of God. And she decided to help God bring his promise to fruition. And so she gave her handmaid, Hagar, in chapter 16, to be a wife to Abraham. Her impatience produced something out of the flesh. Her impatience caused a family dilemma that has echoed even down through history from that time even till now. Because she couldn't wait on the Lord and see his faithfulness. Amen? And so she gave Hagar to be Abraham's wife in order that she may have children for Abraham, when God had already promised Abraham that Eliezer, is his name, right? We're not going to be, I asked Reverend Williams because he dealt with that on Wednesday, right, or Thursday? One of them days. Yeah. God said, no. Your seed is going to come from your loins, from your body. So he promised Abraham he would give him a seed. And then God said to Abraham, wait. Because essentially that's what he was doing. After all this time had gone by, God said, just simmer a little bit and wait. But they couldn't wait. And they tried to help God make the promise come to pass. And that's where we have the son that was born after the flesh. But God did not want the seed to come by ordinary means. The seed of promise had to come by a means that wasn't ordinary. So Sarah had to have this child when she was not just past the age bearing, but all the way. So that everybody would know that this was not an ordinary birth. And so we come to verse 1. And it said, God visited Sarah as he had said. He came in his own time. He came at the time that he said he was going to come. Because when he made the promise, he said, I will come again according to the time of life. And I don't know what that means. And I'm pretty sure Abraham and Sarah didn't know what that means. But it didn't matter what it meant. What matters is that God knew what that time was. And they should have waited for him to fulfill that time. And he visited her. And we dealt with this on the prayer line. To visit, this visit was a friendly visit. Oftentimes God visit, when the word visit is used, God could visit in vengeance and judgment. For example, in Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 9, it says, and this is God speaking, "Shall I not visit them for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this?" God was speaking about visiting this nation in judgment and hostility. And so God can visit or pay a visit in that sense. But the visit that he paid Sarah was not a visit of hostility. It was a friendly visit. It was a visit where he came to see about her. It was a visit where he came to care for her. Because those are the meaning of the word in the Hebrew. It can mean visit in judgment. It can mean visit to care for. And it can mean visit to make a deposit. And so God visited Sarah to make this deposit in her womb that was old and not strong enough to bear a child. He visited her. And he not only did he visit her, but he visited her according to the time that he said he will. And so when you put it all together, God made a friendly visit to Sarah to fulfill his promise made to Abraham. So this visit was to fulfill this promise that they had been waiting for to come to fruition, that he, the Lord, will give them a child. This visit is to make the deposit of the seed that was promised. In Genesis chapter 17, there we find the promise. Verses 15 through 22. Read it on your own time. Write it down. Chapter 18 and verse 4. Let's back up a little bit. Verse 14, but let's back up a little bit. Verse 9. "And he said unto him, Where is Sarah, thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah was old, well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women." In other words, it ceased to be. She had gone past the age of childbearing as other women could. "Therefore Sarah laughed with herself," within herself. Amen? So, like I said, this was not a laugh where she laughed out. But it was a laugh where she spewed out her doubt. But it was audible. And the angel of the Lord heard it. Now, "therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? In other words, she laughed with this question in her heart. Now, this is amazing, because remember, he asked her, where's your wife? She's in the tent. She's not there where they're standing. But the angel hears her heart's doubts and asks Abraham, why does she doubt? Why is she laughing? Why is she saying in her heart, after I have grown old, am I going to have a child? Sarah is not there saying it, and Abraham don't hear it, but the angel of the Lord hears her heart's doubt. Is anything too hard for God? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And of course, Sarah lied. She denied it, saying, I laugh not. I did not laugh. For she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. Now, what does all of this have to do? Because we say this. God is spirit. He is not man. He's not flesh and blood. But we say this in humor terms to try to give an understanding of the heart of God. God has a sense of humor. Amen? That Isaac will be named Isaac. And let's read on. After the Lord visited Sarah to fulfill his promise, Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son, which was born unto him, who Sarah bare to him, Isaac, which means laughter. Why are you laughing, Sarah? I didn't laugh. Oh, yeah, you did. You know, you look at somebody, you say, something funny? Oh, you want to laugh? I'm going to give you something to laugh about. And so he comes, and he showed that he's faithful. Because what he said he will do, he did it. When he said he will do it, he did it. And he turned the laugh around. And he got the last laugh. He's just a God like that. So much so that they will remember this forever, because they named the son Laughter. And Isaac was born to show God's faithfulness to his word. That out of Abraham's loins, and that because in chapter 15 and verse 6, Abraham believed God and it was accredited to him for righteousness. Because of that, God will bring forth a blessing to all the families of the earth. Because Abraham believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And so Isaac is the fulfillment of that immediate promise, but Christ is the fulfillment of the ultimate promise. Because God reiterates this very same promise he made to Abraham, to Isaac. And then he reiterated it to Jacob. And on and on. And so this is why we call Abraham, my voice is about to get crazy. I'm sorry, about to go up in pitch. And this is why we call Abraham the father of our faith. And Paul calls him the father of the faithful. So it is amazing how when God visits, he takes a situation, I want to say, that seems hopeless, but it really is hopeless for us. But from God's perspective, it seems hopeless. That he steps into that hopeless situation and turns things around. And he does it in a way that there is an indelible mark that is left, that no one can mistake that God has been at work in that situation. And when God does this for us, it's because of his son, Jesus Christ. God visited Sarah and stepped into her barrenness, her hopelessness, her helplessness, right? And he did what he said he would do. Why? Because of his promise he made to Abraham. Because if it was left up to Sarah, God would not have stepped into her situation because she was doubtful. But God kept his word because of his promise to Abraham. And ultimately, when God is faithful to us in keeping the promises that he makes to us in his word, it is because he is faithful to his son, Jesus Christ. He fulfills his promise because of his son, Jesus Christ. It's never of any goodness of our own. Because if we will see ourselves in the face of Sarah and Abraham, many of us know if it was based on my high time and my low time. Today I'm obedient to the word of God. Tomorrow I'm disobeying. Today I'm loving my neighbor. Tomorrow I'm cursing them out. Today I'm loving my wife. Tomorrow I'm saying, shoo, it's your fault. If we really measure our lives, we can see that God is not faithful to us because we are anything special. We don't have it going on like we like to think we do. But it's the moment that we humble ourselves and realize that things are not in our control. It is in that moment when we turn to God and say, Father, I stretch my hands to you. No other help I know. If you would withdraw yourself from me, where can I go? It is in that moment when I turn in faith and belief in my heart, instead of laughing at God, instead of laughing that the situation seems hopeless. Who can help this situation? Are you serious? Oh, but is there anything too hard for the Lord? It is at that point when I turn my heart from doubts and throw myself at the foot of the cross and throw myself at the total and finished work of God's Son, Jesus Christ. That's when God is faithful to his word. We see another instance of God being faithful to his promise he made to Abraham in Hagar when she was in the wilderness in a situation that seems hopeless and helpless. And she had given up hope. The Bible says she went and sat about a bull shot, distance away from the child. What an awkward way to measure distance. But it's a play on word. And so she had given up hope. She had braced herself for the death of the child. And by the way, as I pointed out, now I know it says here, the child. And it's easy for us to think that when Abraham sent Hagar off, it's easy to picture a woman leaving with a child in her arms and a bottle of water walking away. But I would have you know that this is no child of the sort. This was a teenage boy. I know this because it says here in verse 5, and Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. So when Isaac was born, Abraham was 100 years old, right? Now if we go to chapter 16 and verse 16, it says, I'm sorry, back up to 15, and Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abraham. He was 86 years old. When Ishmael was born, Abraham was 86 years old. When Isaac was born, he was 100 years old. So that's, what's that, 14 years? And then when it came time to wean Isaac, according to their tradition, that was done when the child was 2 or 3 years old. So you tack on 2 or 3 years onto that 14. Now you have a child that is somewhere between the age of 15 and 17 years old. He wasn't that child that you think he was. He could carry his mother in the wilderness. But God is saying something here. Remember now, Abraham said to God when he made this promise, oh, but if that you will consider Ishmael. And God said to him, Ishmael shall not be your heir, but in thy seed Isaac. And then God promised him, I'm still going to bless your son Ishmael because he's your seed also. And so when you come to this, the rest of this passage in verse 17, and God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of the Lord called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. But the text said she wept out loud. It didn't say the boy did. So what hearing did God hear? And so, yes, there's a principle here. God hears our prayer. He hears our weeping. And he comes to see about us in those hopeless times. But he does not come because we prayed. He comes because of whose name in which we pray. When we pray in the name of Jesus. God heard this woman's weeping heart. And he came to see about Ishmael. Not because she wept out aloud, but because he had made that promise to Abraham that he was also going to bless Ishmael, and Ishmael was also going to become a multiple nation. If God allows him to die in the wilderness, that promise don't come to fruition. So God visited her in that hopeless situation to save that child, not because She wept out loud. Yes, he heard it. And yes, there's a principle there that when we are in a distressful situation, we can cry out and he will hear us and he will answer our prayers. But it's got to be in the name of Jesus. Because he answers the prayers because of what Jesus done on our behalf. In the same way, he answered her because of his promise he made to Abraham. He does it because of who we've come to believe in, and that's Jesus Christ. He's faithful in every way. He's faithful. Amen? And I'm almost done. First thing we need to understand about the faithfulness of God is that when God promised something, we must first receive it by faith. We must receive what he promised by faith. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith. Now we're talking about saving faith, because the Bible talks about different elements of faith. Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be ye moved, and it will be moved. So essentially what Jesus was saying is that faith comes in different sizes. Because if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, then that implies you can have faith the size of a rock or bigger. So faith comes in different sizes. But we're talking about saving faith. Saving faith grabs hold. It represents as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, when God promised, we have to receive what he promised by faith. That is, we don't see the thing he promised. We don't have the thing he promised now. Just like Sarah could not see, possibly, with her natural mind, understand how it could be possible for her to have a child in her old age. She couldn't see the thing happening. But when God promised, she should have received it, and eventually she did receive it by faith. What does that mean? She received the promise as if to say it was hers now, even though she don't see it and it does not come till way in the future. Because make no mistake, the promisee wasn't Isaac. The promisee wasn't Jacob. Now, there's a reason why I skip all these names and go straight to Jacob. The promisee wasn't Joseph. Because Joseph was not even, he did not even carry the line. Judah did. Jacob, other son. What am I saying? Jesus was the promised seed. So even though they receive Isaac and God give them laughter, he turned their scorn into joy. But that was temporary. The ultimate joy and satisfaction will come hundreds of years later. So it's easy to say they did receive the promise. No, they did not. Because listen to this. Let's skip down to, stay in Hebrews 11. And let's look at verse 11. I'll come back to verse 11. Let's skip forward to verse 13. These all died in faith. Right? They all died in faith. Not having received the promise. But wait a minute. Isaac was born. They named him Laughter. So how can you say they never received the promise? Because Isaac was not the promised seed. Jesus was. It wasn't about Isaac. It wasn't about Jacob. Neither was it about Judah. But it was about the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The King who has prevailed in Revelation chapter 5. The one who John saw as a lamb that was slain. Bearing the scars of the cross, he saw him in heaven. That was the seed. That was the one who was promised. And there was that hopeless situation where John, when the question was asked, who can approach God and take the scroll out of his hand and loose the seven seals thereof? There was a search done for someone who could do that. They searched all in heaven. Couldn't find nobody. They searched all over the earth. Couldn't find nobody. They searched under the earth. Couldn't find nobody. They searched in the seas. Couldn't find nobody. It seemed like a hopeless situation. And John began to weep. He began to weep. And the angel, one of the 24 elders, right? Says, weep not. For the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. To take the book and loose the seals thereof. Amen. Having not received the promise, they died in faith. But having seen them afar off and were persuaded. What? You mean you persuaded by something you don't have? I have this tower in my hand. And I am persuaded that I have a tower in my hand. I can feel it. I have a tower in my hand. And you're looking at me like, Quincy, you crazy. Your hand is empty. But I'm telling you, I got a tower in my hand. I'm persuaded that I have a tower in my hand. That's what faith does. That's why it's the substance of things hoped for. What are you hoping for? For the promise to come through. You don't have the promise yet, but you have faith. And faith can grab hold of what God has promised. As if to say, you have it now. You can live your life. Go on living. Not try to work things out for yourself. Not try to make things happen. Because that's what we do. God, you're taking too long. Where are you, God? And now I begin to work things out, calculating, making moves, tapping into resources, and going on about my business as if to say, God, if you ain't going to do this, I'm going to do it for myself. But no. Grab hold of it by faith, because he is faithful. And here's the awesome thing about it. You may not receive that thing he promised in your lifetime, but that doesn't mean he's not faithful. Your great-great-grandchildren might be the one who received what was promised. He still is faithful. That's why you don't put a time limit on what God has promised to do. Because his time It's not like our time. That's why Peter could say to him, a day that is 1,000 years old to us, or 1,000 years to us, is but a day to him. He doesn't work on our timetable. That's why the Bible could say, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem us from the curse of the law. You have to wait on God's time. Because there's no timing like God's timing. And the old people had it right when they said, he doesn't always come when you want him to. But he is an on-time God. He comes right when it's right. He show up. Step into your situation of hopelessness. And fulfill his word. He's that faithful. And he stepped into Sarah's situation. He visited her. And he made a deposit in her to bear a child. This old woman who did not have the strength to carry a baby for 9 months, let alone push a baby out when it came time. But when she grabbed hold of the promise, listen to what the word of God says. Hebrews 11:11, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength. Strength for what? To conceive seed. This old woman's, her faith and her trust in God strengthened her womb. Her womb was dead. Faith brought it back to life. She was old and weak. Faith gave her the necessary strength she needed to carry a child for 9 months and to push that child out. Faith gave her strength in her old age. Remember it said there that she was past that time. She couldn't do like other women could do. But when she had faith in the promise, he gave her strength. Now, this old woman could do what other women could do. Because only God can do such a thing. Faith gave Sarah strength to be able to endure the pain and to be able to push that child out. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. She judged him faithful. And that's what faith does. Faith relinquishes my will. Faith casts aside any old thing that I think I can do and throw myself completely on God and totally depend on him. This faith is not an intellectual faith. Yes, it starts there. Because part of the intellect is understanding the word of God. It starts there, but it's a faith that goes on to experience God. Because it's a faith that just does not believe in a bunch of facts. But it's a faith that turns itself over in total dependence to God for everything. And that is why Habakkuk could say, the just shall, my entire life, my entire Christian walk is initiated in saving faith, but it goes on to live out faith. And everything God's promised, I have to receive it by faith. And I'm done on this last point. Yeah, I am. Not only should we receive the promise of God through faith, but we should wait for the promise to come to fruition. Receive it and wait on it. Receive it and wait on it. We already been through that. They didn't wait. But God didn't count it against them because it wasn't dependent upon what they did or didn't do. God's word had already gone forth. And when God make a promise, he swear, and the writer of Hebrews tell us about this. There is no one by whom God can swear by that is greater than God. So he swears by himself. And so when God makes a promise, his name is riding on that thing. And if you keep that to the forefront of your mind, it will encourage you in times where you are impatient. When you are going through times when it's hard for you to wait on the Lord, you can encourage yourself by telling yourself, the Lord's name is riding on this. That means he ultimately will do what he says he will do. And then you got to remember, all these stories in the Bible are not just stories. These are real things that happen to real people in their real dealings with God. There really was a woman named Sarah. There really was a man named Abraham. These things really did happen. God's word is true. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And you know when things are just...
Put this way over here so I don't open it up again.
And sometimes things can seem too heavy and too hard for you to bear. But while you're waiting, speak the word over yourself. Encourage yourself. It may seem too hard, but remind yourself that God said he will never put more on you than you can bear. If he given it to you, that's because he knows you can carry it. If he's taking too long, it's because he's trying your faith. Just like he tried Abraham's faith. Amen? He's trying your faith. And sometimes it seems so hard and you feel like you want to faint. You can't wait. You want to pull your hair out. You want to run and do things on your own or even fall apart. You know, there's people who run and do things on their own. And then there's people who just become useless to themselves and everybody around them because they withdraw within. But listen to what the word of God says. I have fainted unless I have believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait. He will strengthen your heart. Not anything you do to help the situation will strengthen your heart. He will strengthen your heart. Who strengthened Sarah? Who strengthened her? God did. And he did it despite the fact that she didn't wait and went and made the thing, try to make the thing happen. But you see, God's faithfulness is not dependent upon what we do or don't do. He's faithful to his word because his name is riding on it, and he will do what he says he will do. when he says he's going to do it. So you may never find Mr. Tall, Dark, and Handsome. But it's all right. And I know sometimes it's easy for you to say that. You got a wife. And she got a husband. But I've been waiting. I've been praying. I've been asking. And I used to hear Pastor Evan say, if you can't find a man, you got Jesus. Because he will be a better husband to you than I can be to my wife. Lord knows she knows that. She knows that. Amen? And you waiting. Wait on him. For whatever it is you're waiting for, wait for it. As long as it's conformed to the word of God, it's in the will of God, it's according to the promise of God, he will do what he says he will do in his own good time. But keep in mind, if it's not in his will, you might wait forever and it may never come. Amen? Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Isaiah 40, 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increased their strength. Even a youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagle. They shall run and not weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That's the blessing of waiting on the Lord. As we stand, amen. Well, I didn't have a sermon. At least I thought I didn't. Thank God for his word. Amen. Isn't God good? Know this, that trouble don't last always. And God sometimes allows things to come into our lives. Keep in mind, God always have a purpose for what goes on with us. We know that God's ultimate purpose is to conform us to the very likeness of his son, Jesus Christ. But there are these little purposes in our lives that comes together to form that grand scheme of thing. And you may not understand why you go through some things you go through. Understand that God will not put more on you than you can bear. He will not allow you to go through anything without bringing you out of that thing. But I want to encourage your heart and let you know, don't shrink within yourself, but rejoice in the Lord. Because you're rejoicing. It's the joy of this laughter that God will visit you in your situation and bring about laughter and turn your sadness into joy. And the Bible says, the joy of the Lord shall be your strength. It's when he turns your sadness into joy, he will give you strength. He never promised to always deliver us out of the situation, but he did promise he would give us strength to see us through it. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Again I say, wait on him, and he will renew your strength. Amen. And God has a way sometimes of removing things out of our lives that may hinder our relationship with him. And God has many ways of doing what he do, why he does it. And I can't stand up here and explain it all. But that's why you are in a personal relationship with him. And it's your responsibility to seek him while you are in that situation. The Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on the Lord and he will answer you. Don't think I haven't been good, so God not going to answer me. It's not based on that. If you didn't hear anything I said, it's based on his son, Jesus Christ. God does not require you to be perfect. Yes, he requires you to conform to his son, but he doesn't require you to be perfect. Because if he did, he would not have sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. And I used to hear Reverend Williams say, God, pick up the pieces. Where we fall short, he picks up the pieces. Amen. Wait on the Lord. Grab hold of what he's promised. Make sure it is in his will. He will hear your cry. He will answer your prayer because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross on your behalf. Amen. If there is one who have not received Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, you can receive him today.